Hey, Aaron.
Hello.
Okay, good. I can hear you. Hi, BP. Good morning. You should have saw what BP had for breakfast this morning. Churro French toast.
What the heck?
I know the stuff he eats.
Is it like some cinnamon dust on like French toast or something?
Well, it was a lot more than just cinnamon dust. It was like three or four layers. It was all this creamy stuff, and then there was even churros on top.
Sure, like mini, like I imagine, like just miniature churros, right?
There was like
A
an
big
it
old
was.
long one.
Wasn't a big old long one. It was smaller. I don't know if it was cut in half or if it was a smaller churro, but there was churros on top.
Speaking of churros, I know tomorrow when Lewis go and I go to Walmart, I was going to treat him to Subway because we were going to try one of those sidekicks that they have on the menu.
Oh, nice. He said too many
I don't know if
churros.
I can try the churro, but I want to try either the pretzel or the cookie.
Gotcha.
I think the pretzel would be the more appetizing one of the three, I think, in my opinion.
You think so? I don't know. I think
It's
I would try the
possible
churro for sure.
and pretzel.
All right. Well, let me get in with I got totally distracted here with the intro. I'm going to turn this music back on and do it. Good morning. I'm going to start this over again. Today is Friday, May 3rd. I am your host, Mary Jo, coming to you live from the DJ Pebble Studio, located in the Mile High City, Colorado. Welcome to the show, and thank you for being here. If you're listening to this later, I understand how valuable your time is, so thank you for downloading. Hit that follow button so you can join us live sometime. Let's see. Thank you for your continued love, likes, shares, and downloads. And it's Friday. Everybody knows that. We have a lot to go over this morning. So, the word of the day. Aaron, of course, is here to do sports. And then we're doing songs from the music documentary that we finished watching last night, Punk Attitude, a film by Don Lutz. So, let's get at it. Bam Bam, I know he's driving his kids around, but I'm going to play this anyway, and he can play it back for her. Tomorrow is his daughter's birthday, Alexis, and so I wanted to play her a birthday song. So this is for you, Alexis. Happy birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday to you. This is your day. This is your day, your day.
Alexis, I don't want to say her age, just, you know, in case, but happy birthday. I hope you have a good birthday weekend. All right. So, gosh, it is so windy today. I don't know where this wind came from, but I don't like it one bit. All right. We're going to get in with the word of the day and a couple things trending, and then we'll get into Aaron's sports. I'm going to turn up his mic so I can hear him. All right, so for the word of the day, I'm not going to talk a lot. I'm going to have this dude over here talk, Mr. Les Brown. He's going to teach us on integrity, but integrity, a quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. A quote I have is, no matter how educated, talented, rich, or cool you believe you are, how you treat people ultimately tells you about you. Integrity is everything. So let's listen to what Les Brown has to say about integrity.
I want to read something to you called The Builder that kind of touched me. Because when you start looking at giving your best at all times, that's
okay.
Easy. But when you are committing yourself to doing something, those are the standards that you set for yourself because that's who you are. If you're working on a job where you're miserable, they're not paying you what
welcome.
You want. You don't like the work, you don't like the people. And you're dissatisfied. If you have decided to continue to take a paycheck, you owe it to yourself to give it your best effort. If you get in the habit of being mediocre or doing just enough to get by, you're not hurting anybody but you. You're cheating you. The Builder. There was a man who was an efficient builder. He had worked for years in a large company and had reached the age of retirement. His employer asked him to build one more house.
No problem.
It was to be his last commission. The builder took the job, but his heart was not involved. He used inferior materials. Timber was poor. And he failed to see the many things that should have been clear to him had he shown even...
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Ashley. Welcome.
When the house was eventually finished, his employer came to him and said, "The house is yours. Here's the key. It's a present from me." The builder immediately regretted that he had not used the best materials and engaged the most capable workers. If only he had known that the house was for him. If he had made a commitment with his life, with his craft, that I'm going to give my best at all times, even if this is my last job, I'm going to give it my best shot because that expresses who I am, he would have been more appreciative of that gift. Would you imagine that? I think that makes a very good point. The next thing is, live each day with integrity. Don't try and get over in life. Don't try and cheat. See, a lot of people like to try and cheat. I was with a friend of mine, and went into a service station to get some gas. They gave me back too much change. I discovered it down the road, and I was turning around going back. Guy said, "You're a fool. Hey, man, what when they don't give people enough change? You think they flag the people down?" I said, "I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for me." I went back, and I told the guy, "Excuse me, sir, you gave me a $20 bill too much."
That made me what he just said. I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for me. And that when I heard that yesterday, I was just like, damn, that hit me hard.
I gave it to the guy. The guy just took it and walked away. Didn't say thank you. The guy in the car laughed, said, "I told you, you fool." I said, "I'm not responsible for his attitude. I don't care. Knowing that he would not say thank you, I would still give it back to him. Because my image of myself says, hey, you don't take something that doesn't belong to you. That's the way my mother raised me. Don't try and cheat. Say, well, you know, this little bit won't count. Everything counts." A friend of mine was on welfare after going through a bad experience. Someone, you know, she and her husband became ill. They couldn't work for a while, and they went on welfare. After they both became physically well, he said, "Look here. We don't ever have to go back to work. We're making more money on welfare than we made when we were working with all the Medicaid benefits and all of the food stamps and everything." She said, "No." She said, "We are not going to accept the checks anymore." He said, "I'm not going to work." "Now, you can go to work if you want to." She went down to the welfare department and said, "Don't send any
checks." Hi, Maga Man. Welcome.
"To my house." Lady said, "Excuse me?" She said, "I've been working here 25 years. No one has ever come in here and said, don't send any more checks in. Are you sure you are right?" "Yes, I am." And she went home and told her husband, "Don't look for any more checks because I told him to cut the check off. Now we've got to find something to do. And they started a paper route and got over 1,500 customers and were making money hand over fist in a spirit of dignity and achievement, not ripping anybody off. That was the critical choice. She could have very easily said, well, everybody else is doing it. Why don't I do it? But she decided not to follow the crowd. I like what Whitaker said, what you think about me is none of my spiritual business. So when you are keeping integrity with yourself, you know that's going to bring you under a lot of pressure. The next thing is, don't try to cut a bargain with life. Life is not Donald Trump. Life will not give you any special deals because you maintain a sense of integrity. There are no deals. You got to do what you do because, not with any ulterior motives, that you're going to get some special benefit or some special treatment in the universe. No, doesn't mean that somebody might not steal your car while you try to do some good for somebody. No, there won't be any special light around your car. They will take your car too. All the good people, you're going to go too. You've got to do what you do because that expresses who you are. And for no other reason. They might not have a banquet to recognize you or give you a special little plaque and dedicate a day in your name. No. Do what you do because that's you. The next thing is dedicate your life to something. Dedicate your life to a cause larger than yourself. See, if you dedicate life to a cause larger than yourself, you're not following in the crowd. See, if your life is not dedicated to something of value, and I like what Howard Thurman said, who was one of the mentors to Dr. Benjamin Mays, who was a mentor to Dr. Martin Luther King. He said, the quality of life is often determined by that to which the individual is dedicated. If the dedication of the life is vague and diffuse, the quality is apt to be poor and weak. There is much to be said for the intensity of life. See, most people are not intense about living. Most people are very casual about life. They haven't found anything to become intense about. So when you dedicate your life, you don't care anything about the odds. Somebody say, when the dream is big enough, the odds don't matter. See, when you dedicate your life, you bring on a special power. There's a power in you that people, circumstances, events, and I'm not talking about the physical you. I'm talking about the real you, the indestructible, invincible, perfect essence of who you really are, that can bring a government to its knees, that can change the course of history. When you dedicate your life like a Nelson Mandela, who has decided to sacrifice his freedom, all he has to do is say whatever the government wants him to say, and they'll let him go free. And he can go to a foreign nation and say, I just said that because I've been in prison for over 20 years. And nobody will say, well, Nelson, you sold out. No one will say that. They will say, wait a minute.
Hi, William. Nelson, welcome.
Over 20 years of your life, what more can we ask of you? It's okay. But because of his integrity with himself, and he's dedicated his life to break the back of apartheid and free his people, it was Benjamin Disraeli. He says, nothing can resist the will of a people that will stay even their existence on the extent of their purpose for good. Then when you dedicate your life to something, you bring on some powers in the universe that works through you to bring about changes that you would never ever know unless you have dedicated yourself. So I say to you that there is Mother Teresa in you. There's some work for you to do. I say to you that there is a Nelson Mandela in you, that kind of commitment, that kind of spirit, that kind of personal power, that kind of vision of allowing yourself to be used by life is in you, that all of us came here to do something, to make a difference. And in a historical context, the world will never be the same again because you came this way.
It's so good to have you direct from Brazil. Integrity. I hate watching the news, and even when I try to stay away from it, you still hear and see all the stuff that's going on in the world and how absolutely insane people have gotten. I mean, I always end the show with be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile, because it will. It'll try to, and it does. And for me, it's driving. When I have to drive Aaron to work, drive back to go get him, and drive back. The people on the road, it's just, oh, I just can't wait to get to my safe place, right? And then I'm hearing these stories about Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, and people beating each other up and chasing each other down because somebody looked at somebody the wrong way or said something the wrong way or cut in front of you. And then this morning I hear at some bowling alley, and some lady, I don't know the whole story, but one of the ladies bashed the other lady in the back of the head with a bowling ball. It's like, what is going on? There is absolutely no integrity. There's none, zero, zilch. It's just whatever anybody can do for themselves. I mean, I shouldn't say that. 90% of it is gone. There's a 10% of humankind out there, I feel like, that do have integrity and do the right thing and do try and do keep trying and do, but man, they are getting beat down left and right, and there's not a whole lot of us left. So we got to keep trying. We got to keep trying to do the right thing no matter what, even when nobody's watching. I know that's something you always hear, but we got to keep doing it, people, because this is just getting, it's just getting awful. It's just getting to be a really bad place. And I never, you know, I can't imagine having my granddaughter, you know, is going to be 5 years old, and seeing her having to grow up in this world compared to, you know, UBP and me. I mean, I don't know how old you are, William, but, and I know how old Aaron is because he's my son, but you know what I mean? Back in those days, it was so different. It was such a different life to have, you know. There wasn't as many worries. You weren't afraid somebody was going to bash you in the back of the head with a bowling ball when you're going bowling. You know, it's just insane. It's just crazy. Okay, I'm off my rant, but let's have a little bit of integrity. We need to have a little bit more of integrity. All right, so let's move on. We'll do a couple jokes, even though I know that Aaron isn't going to laugh at my jokes. I have a couple of them here. All right. Why didn't the son go back to college? Aaron?
Don't know.
It already had 1,000,000 degrees. Bum, bum. Mm. All right.
See, I guess these are like the riddles or some.
No. All right. Here's one. Why shouldn't you eat a clock?
Say that one more time.
Why shouldn't you eat a clock?
Because it's time consuming.
Oh, did you Google it?
Oh, I figured that out by myself.
All right. Well, this
seems like the riddles, like I'm saying.
This is one that BP sent me. BP sent me this one, and I was like, oh man. Okay, here's one. This is kind of, my girlfriend wanted something. It's kind of a riddle-ish joke, but my girlfriend wanted something that went from 0 to 160 in seconds. Dot dot. So I bought her a scale. Boom, boom. Get it? 0 to 60. Get it? You step on the scale. It's zero. Okay. And then all of a sudden it goes to 160. All right, PP. He didn't laugh at yours either.
Sorry,
I tried.
Figure out the answer.
I tried. Anyway, oh well, maybe next time we'll get a VP. Now, Aaron is with us, not laughing at our jokes, but he's going to teach us a little bit about what he learned in sports this past week. All right, Aaron.
I was going to say first about the integrity part. Like, I'm with you because I don't watch the news that much.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just try to watch like some of my favorite programs. Like yesterday, I was catching up on demand the first episode of this second go round of the Jeopardy Masters tournament.
Oh, well, there you go. You can get a little smart watching that show.
Yeah, I always try to guess give the correct response, but some of those clues can be pretty tough.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
All right. So, first of all, congratulations to you and me, by the way, a little clap on the, pat on the our backs. We finished the stair climb for lung cancer last Saturday in the cold in, freezing rain that we finished it just before it started to snow.
Yeah. In fact, to be honest, that was like the second hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, it was really hard
to have running that Bronco 7K. So
yeah, it was tough. When I was doing it, I was like, I wanted to give up so many times. I was just like, I'm done walking these stairs. It is cold and the rain's coming down on you. Oh my gosh, you could see your breath, but we did it. We finished it. Aaron finished before me, I think probably maybe 4 minutes before me. Again, we had our numbers, but it was raining. So he had a sweatshirt on over his, and I had like a little, windbreaker on. But when I was ending, you know, when I knew it was the last couple steps, I opened up my windbreaker so they could see my number. And I think that's how they got my time, which was 29 minutes and 11 seconds, was when I finished it. 1,998 steps up. So, and like I said, Aaron, you finished it at least 4 minutes before me. At least you did. So I'm not giving you 5 minutes. No, you could have finished it 5 minutes before me. You finished it about 4 or 5 minutes before me. So I asked if they could find your time, but I think that they're not going to be able to without your number not being, your number being covered up. But no, anyway,
it's okay. At least we did that thing in a little over half an hour. So,
yep, exactly. And so now the next one, we got to see which is the next one. If there'll be one before the Broncos, I think we'll still be here for the Broncos. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, all right. So the first on your list for sports, you have Friday Night SmackDown.
Yep.
Tell me about it.
First, with Friday Night SmackDown in the first night of the WWE draft, Bianca Belair was the number one overall pick to SmackDown, while main event Jey Uso went to Raw.
Oh.
Later, Carmelo Hayes was drafted to SmackDown, while Seth Rollins was drafted to Raw. Other picks include Braun Breaker, Kiana James to Raw, and then LA Knight to SmackDown in night one of the draft.
Okay. So then that means they'll be on the different shows. One will be on Raw, the other ones will be on SmackDown.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And sometimes they, I don't want to say play each other, sometimes they wrestle each other, or not usually. Raw and SmackDown, do they ever mix? I thought they did sometimes.
Yeah, like from time to time they will.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the only tag team action, Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio of LWO defeated Lingardo del Fantasma, while in singles action, Braun Breaker defeated Cedric Alexander, and in non-title action, Cody Rhodes, my guy, after signing his contract for the title fight at Backlash against AJ Styles, he defeated Carmelo Hayes.
All right.
I still believe Cody can beat AJ Styles and retain the title at Backlash.
When did that all happened on Friday after the draft?
The draft was that same night, so they had that was just night one of the draft. Night two was on Monday Night Raw.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense, since some of them were going to Raw. All right.
In the NBA playoffs, our Denver Nuggets would advance to round two of the playoffs, including the top-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder and the Timberwolves sweeping their opponents in four games. We beat the Lakers 4-1, though.
That's awesome. Yay. And I heard the Lakers were, again, poor sports. Like, again, I'm talking back in the olden days when I was a youngster, we would always shake hands. You know, you would, after the games, we played soccer, but you would line up and you would, you know, smack each other's hands or, you know, shake each other's hands. Good job. Good job. Good job. See, good job.
NHL during the NHL play, like the Stanley Cup playoffs, after a series is over, they all shake their hands. Like they shake hands with each other.
They need to do that in all, you know, most of the sports. I know in football, when it's a big game or whatever, sometimes some of the players do and some of the players don't. But I think that when you have so many young kids looking up to these professional athletes, I mean, how long is it going to take you to muster up a little thing? Good job. Good job. Good job. And then go on to go change and move on with your life. You know what I mean? It doesn't take that. It's not that hard to do.
No,
it's not that hard to do.
I was going to say too, I think in
football, he is a big baby BP. I agree.
Like the end of a football game, like the players and coaches meet each other, like in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
They'll have like those like jersey swap moments or something and take a picture or something.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, come on. And some of the time, a lot of these guys hang out with each other when they're not playing football or basketball or whatever. Yeah, they're friends and they're. Yeah. I mean, it's a game and you're getting paid a hell of a lot of money to play it. That's all I've got to say. So, yeah, the NBA playoffs.
Four between the Knicks and 76ers. Jalen Brunson scored a new franchise playoff record. 47 points, with 23 of those points come in the first half, along with 7 assists.
Wow.
And then last night before I went to bed, the Knicks finished the Sixers in 6 games, so they're on to the second round as well.
Okay, good. That's exciting. Yeah. I know that with this weekend, it's a trifecta. I was telling you there's there's the Nuggets game. So there's NBA playoffs. There's Cinco de Mayo and then the Kentucky Derby. So they're saying it's a trifecta of drunkenness that's going to happen this weekend with people. So stay off the roads if you can.
Yeah, and the Nuggets are supposed to be playing the Timberwolves in the second round. That's the team that we beat in the first round last year en route to our first title last year.
And that's Saturday?
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to find out what time that is.
Okay. So are y'all done with NBA playoffs?
I'm still going.
Okay.
Game 3 between the Pacers and the Bucks, Haliburton recorded a triple-double of 18 points, 16 assists, and 10 rebounds as the Pacers won in overtime 121-118. And also the Pacers, I watched them yesterday. They won game 6, and now they're on to the second round to play the Knicks.
Wow. Those are close scoring games.
Yeah, and it's been a really interesting playoff, too. Like, I'm starting to like the Pacers a little bit, too, because of Pat McAfee, because I know he's probably happy about the Pacers moving on in the playoffs because Pat McAfee's from Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Because he played for the Colts, so.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, Pat McAfee was the punter for the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So for Monday Night Raw, Gunther and Imperium in night 2 of the WWE draft went to Raw, while Jay Cargill went to SmackDown, including Kevin Owens and NXT from NXT Blair Davenport and Naomi.
Okay.
From NXT, Ilya Dragunov, CM Punk, and Braun Strowman were drafted to Raw night 2 of the WWE draft.
I wonder if these people like, excuse me, changing, you know, from being on SmackDown and then going to Raw or are the opposite. I wonder if they...
Yeah, but I was happy to see some of the guys from NXT get drafted to the main roster, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because that's a big deal for them. Now all of us, absolutely. Now they're going to be in the spotlight more.
Mm-hmm. Reigning tag team champs Awesome Truth would retain their titles in tag team action against Alpha Academy, While in singles action, Gunther defeated Xavier Woods by submission, while Liv Morgan would defeat Nia Jax, and Candice LeRae defeated Maxine Dupri.
Is that, I wonder if that's her real name. Dupri? I like that name.
Dupri. D-U-P-R-I.
I like it.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, our Colorado Avalanche would advance to round two of the playoffs, including the New York Rangers, Carolina Hurricanes, and the Florida Panthers.
Who is the best hockey team right now that's in the playoffs?
I think it's the New York Rangers because they had the best record in the, like, overall in the NHL, and they got
the regular season.
There's this thing that they give to the team with the best record in the NHL, and it's called the President's Trophy.
Oh, okay. So
that's the team who has the best overall record regular season-wise gets the President's Trophy.
Nice. Yeah, and we just...
The New York Rangers had the best record overall.
I think
the Avalanche won the President's Trophy the year they won the Stanley Cup. I'm not entirely sure. I'll have to look it up on Wikipedia or something.
Okay, yeah, but last year they didn't do that well at all, but at least this year they're...
They got to the playoffs, but we lost to the Seattle Kraken in the first round.
Yeah. And we just beat which Canadian team do we just beat?
Their team is called the Winnipeg Jets.
Okay.
And we're either going to be facing the Dallas Stars or the Vegas Golden Knights in the second round.
And when will we find out who, well, we,
when... I think maybe tonight or something. I think there's supposed to be I think game six between those two tonight or maybe tomorrow. So we'll see.
Okay, this weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
In the United Football League, the St. Louis Battlehawks defeated the DC Defenders 45-12, where after halftime, St. Louis scored 28 unanswered points after DC cut St. Louis's lead to 5 before halftime.
And that's the United Football. You know, that's the team.
The new Spring Football League.
That's the team that they split up something, right?
Yeah, it was when the XFL and USFL merged. Because in both Spring Football Leagues, there was like a total of 8 teams each. But then they took like 4 teams from those both leagues when they merged and made the United Football League. So there's still 8 teams in that league. And, of course, my Birmingham Stallions are part of it, too.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and they're right now they're undefeated at 5-0 this year.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I think they're playing against the Memphis Showboats this weekend, I think. I think it's a road game, too. Because in the United Football League, they actually play a 10-week regular season.
Mm-hmm.
The two top teams in each conference who have the best record.
Right.
Best record in each conference. They play in the XFL and USFL championship game in the playoffs. And then the two teams at the end of the season meet for the United Football League championship.
Oh, okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And the Michigan Panthers defeated the Memphis Showboats 35-18 in week 5 of the regular season in the United Football League.
Nice. I always say this. I like their names. They're interesting. Now, wait a minute. Didn't you say, okay, the Showboats, you kind of think about who would their mascot be? It's not a boat.
Was it a dog or something? I saw it. He was like roaming around on the sidelines. The Memphis Showboats mascot is actually a dog, and he's wearing like a sea captain's outfit.
It's a real dog, not a person in a dog.
No, it's a person in like a mascot outfit, but though not a real dog.
Oh, it is a person because you're like he was roaming around. I thought maybe it was real dog.
I'll do my homework this weekend and see what is the mascot's name is because I know.
Okay.
I think Birmingham has one. I don't know what their mascot is called though.
You would think that they would all have mascots.
Yeah.
I mean, to figure it out. That's funny.
Yeah, I'll do my homework this weekend and see what their names are.
Okay. So it's a guy and a dog outfit for the showboat people. And he
has like a sea captain's outfit on.
That's crazy. All right.
So lastly, since WWE Backlash is this weekend, I have my picks all ready to go.
And you say it's in France?
Yep, it's in France, yes.
Okay.
So
what are your picks?
For the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, I have Jey Uso defeating Damian Priest, who is the World Heavyweight Champion right now.
Okay.
For the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, I have Cody Rhodes defeating AJ Styles, retaining the... I said Cody Rhodes is going to retain the title. In the WWE Women's Championship Triple Threat match, I think Bayley's going to defeat Tiffany Stratton and Naomi in that match. For the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship, I think Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are going to defeat the Kabuki Warriors. Next, I have Kevin Owens and
Randy Kabuki Orton. Warriors? I'm sorry. Kabuki Warriors is what they're called?
Yeah, the Kabuki Warriors, yes.
Okay.
For the Intercontinental Championship, I have Sami Zayn defending his title against Chad Gable. For the WWE Tag Team Championship, I have A-Town Down Under retaining their championship against the Street Profits. And then lastly, in the World Tag Team Championship, I have the Tag Team Awesome Truth defeating DIY.
Nice. All right. Well,
Backlash this year, so we'll see what happens.
And I'm sorry, that's this weekend, correct?
Yeah, it's tomorrow in France.
So dang, there's all kinds of stuff for you. You have to watch this or record.
Like when I come home from work later, I'll have to see what time that Kentucky Derby starts, because I think maybe NBC broadcasts it or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do. I'll have to check. And also, I wanted to add this little part. I'm trying to catch up on some college baseball and softball because I was going to write about it because I was going to call it something called Play Ball on Campus.
Uh-huh.
Because they're in college. And gosh, the last two games I've caught up on, there's been a lot of offense. Like a lot of runs have been scored.
Well, that'll be interesting to hear what you have to say, Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to take me a long time to get through all the recorded games because I know I just found out about this like days ago that the selection day for the men's and women's college World Series is like right around the corner. So I was like, oh, shoot, I better jump on this right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So that's all the sports I got for this week.
Oh, Bam Bam, just Tuttles just came in. He's saying hi to you.
Oh.
Well, say hi before you leave. Hi, Rejoice. Hi, Bam Bam. You just missed him. He's had his picks and some other things. He was talking about the thing that's happening in France.
Backlash this weekend, so.
In France, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Golly, this week will be over pretty soon, my friend. Pretty soon it'll be over with. We'll have a new one. But, okay, thank you, Aaron. Let me get your music playing. You did awesome. Go ahead, Aaron. Let me mute it so you people can hear what you said. What?
Thank you guys very much. I'll see you next Friday.
Yep, for sure. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate you. All right, that was Aaron with his sports report, teaching his mom about the sports, about the sports. And now is music. We're going to get into the documentary we finished watching last night. Bam Bam and I, stop music, finished watching the second half of the documentary Punk Attitude, a film by Don Letts. It's free on YouTube if you like music and you're interested in watching it. It's really quite interesting because what I've said before, we've talked about, and what we learned in this documentary was that in the beginning, punk, I guess, was more or less just started off kind of as an attitude, a way to, you know, they rebellious, people that were rebellion and did what they wanted to do with music. And then when you think about punk, it's more the Sex Pistols, the Clash, Black Flag, all those guys. But that was in the 70s, in the 80s. But before that, there was a whole bunch. So it's a really great documentary. Again, Punk Attitude by Don Letts, L-E-T-T-S. And so we're going to get into the second half. There's like, golly, how many songs? Today, I believe a total for the soundtrack of the songs that were played, 87 songs. So we're going to get into 40-ish of them, really, you know, a little, we don't play the whole song, try to play a little bit of it, the history of the song, and that's what we'll go from there. So first of all, I'm going to play this first song for my co-host for connecting with movies and their soundtrack, Tuttles. You'll see him on there as Tuttles. I call him Bam Bam, so you might get confused if you're new to the program. But they talked about this song. But this wasn't on my list, so I'm going to play it. It's Exploited. They talked about this song, right? I know we talked about it. Anyway, Exploited, Barnaby Army. And a little bit about before I play that, what is the meaning of Barnaby Army? The Barnaby Army Cricket, an organized group of cricket fans, which arranges touring parties of its members to follow the English cricket team on all of its overseas tours by excursion. The England supporters in other sports, for example, those of England national football team. So that's what a Barnaby Army is. So here in this band is the Exploited. Hopefully it doesn't have a commercial. Oh, no.
Okay, there we go. It's my Batman and don't fucking mess.
So that's Exploited, Barnaby Army by Exploited. All right, Bannon, that one is for you. that was the time, excuse me, my throat. I don't know what's coming out of my throat. That was the time when, if you watch the documentary, that was when the punk became of the, you know, the safety pins in the cheek and the torn clothes that you bought that were torn, because they were saying how in the beginning they wore torn clothes because that's all that they had. You know, they were down on their luck. That's what they had. And then it became a fashion statement. And then all of a sudden, all these designers were selling clothes with torn, you know, the bondage and the leg straps and all that. I remember those pants. We used to sell those at Tower Records. They were all plaid. Remember? You always had to have the guys, if they would wear jeans or they didn't have those kind of pants, and they would have the flannel jacket and it was wrapped around their waist, or flannel shirt, whatever. So yeah, fun times. All right, we're going to move on to the next song. I don't remember if we did Religion by Public Image, but it was in the movie. John Lydon, isn't John Lydon? I always think I'm saying it
wrong, was in fine form when interviewed by Bill Turnbull and Sal Williams on the BBC program in July 7th of 2010 about the song Religion. He suggested his song Religion was raw, of which he said that states the case quite clearly and alluding to then ongoing scandals over child abuse, including sexual abuse, he added. In the light of Catholic Church scandals at the moment, I hate to say it, but I seen it coming. It was partly due to his being a choir boy, but there is another reason for his angst towards religion, and especially the Catholic Church, it says. When asked by Sal Williams, "Your mom was Catholic, wasn't she?" A look of pain came over his face, and his voice was quite filled with bitterness as he replied, "They treated her very badly. They wouldn't give her, it's hard to read it when they're saying it like in English. They wouldn't have given her last rites when she died of cancer in the hospital. So we're having really, really bad negative view, our family, on the Catholic Church." That's really sad. I wonder why they wouldn't do that. But I've heard that before, like the Catholic Church not giving people their last rites. Like, I grew up Catholic. I don't consider myself Catholic, but I grew up Catholic, had catechism and all that stuff. So, but I've heard that before, and that really makes me sad because it puts a bad taste in people's mouth about religion. So here is a little bit of Religion performed by Public Image LTD. This is live in Tokyo. Thanks, Bam Bam. I always want to say London for some reason. Leiden. And then they were talking about the time when the Sex Pistols went and performed at this little dinky bar in Texas. And how the whole bar, of course, was full of cowboys, and they went there to start a problem with the Sex Pistols. I mean, throwing stuff at them when they were playing. And the one guy, he was all bloody. His face was all bloody because they kept throwing crap and it was hitting him in the face. And so, but they stayed up there and they played. And he said it, instead of getting, you know, he would just spit the blood on them. He's like, "Screw you," and he spit the blood out in the audience. I'm like, "Ew, gross." But he said they kind of liked him at the end of the concert. They're like, "Hey, they put up with us, you know, they didn't run off and they didn't, they stayed up there and they did their concert."
On their minds, where the Christian religion made them bright, where they hide and pray to the God of a bitch spelled backwards is gold.
All right, that is Religion, a little bit of Religion performed by Public Image LTD. We're going to move on to The Clash. What's My Name is the song. This is one of the writing credits that the original guitarist Keith Levin got from The Clash on the first album. He claimed to have hand in every song on the first album, but this was disputed by the rest of the band. Joe Strummer always claimed that Levy was too busy doing drugs, heroin, and speed, allegedly, to rehearse, and hence he subsequently got sacked from the band. Levin claims that to have written most of the songs with his fellow guitarist Mick Jones in May of 1976 and showed it to the Sex Pistols song singer John Lydon, with whom he would later from
form the band Public Image. Strummer, however, remembers that the only part of the song that he had was "What's My Name?" That was it. And they put the rest of the verses to the chorus after that. So I don't know. They're all arguing. Either way, here is the song "What's My Name?" performed by The Clash off the album The Clash in 1977. "What's My Name?" The Clash. Again, off the album The Clash, 1977. We're going to move on since there's so many songs. The next one, Anarchy in the UK, the Sex Pistols, of course. Let's see. Originally issued in a plain black sleeve, the single was the only Sex Pistols recording released by EMI, and it reached number 38 on the UK singles chart before EMI dropped the group on January 6, 1977, a month after members of the band used profanity during a live television broadcast. It just kind of cracks me up that in 1977, you could get canned from a music label being a group. You know what I mean? Compared to nowadays, it's just like common. Sex Pistols manager Malcolm McLaren considered the song a call of arms to kids who believe that rock and roll was taken away from them. It's a statement of self-rule, of the ultimate independence. And that, I guess, is the perfect way of describing punk rock. Here is Anarchy in the UK, Sex Pistols.
I want that, I know how to get it. I want to destroy passers-by, cause I want to be an anarchy. And I dream of the UK.
All right, that's Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols. I just realized that that was played at 35 minutes and 15 seconds. And I looked at my last list and I don't remember playing these songs. They weren't on there. So I hope I'm not double. I mean, because we started last night at 45 minutes. But these weren't on my list last week. So now I'm like having a brain fart. Anyway, that was on Nevermind the Bollocks. Here's the Sex Pistols, 1976. We're going to move on to the next band in the documentary. And it was, or the song, I should say, they did talk about them, the Buzzcocks. The song is "I Can't Control Myself." The Buzzcocks are an English punk rock band that singer-songwriter guitarist Pete Shelley and singer-songwriter Howard Devoto formed in Bolton in 1976. During their career, the band combined elements of pop rock, power pop, pop punk. They achieved commercial success with singles that fused pop and craftsmanship with rapid-fire punk energy. Devoto and Shelley chose the name Buzzcocks after reading the headline, "It's the Buzzcock," in a review on a television series, Rock Follies, in the Time Out magazine. The buzz is the excitement of playing on stage, and the cock is a Northern English slang meaning friend. Who'd have thought, hey, you cock, you're calling somebody a friend. It just doesn't fit. Anyway, those English people, they're so funny. They thought the name captured the excitement of the punk scene and the humorous sexual condonations followed Pete Shelley's time working on the Bolton's adult shop. So here it is. I Can't Control Myself, performed by the Buzzcocks. JP, man, how are you? It's so good to see you. All right, that's the Buzzcocks. Yes, you friends of mine, with the song I Can't Control Myself, and it was a single release only. All right, we're going to move on to the next group and song that was in the documentary Punk. Let's see, who do I have next on here? The Damned. The song is New Rose. About the Damned, in this song, was recorded in Islington Pathway Studios in Pound 50. It ran a tally of 2 minutes and 46 seconds. New Rose was the debut single for The Damned. It was released on October 22nd, 1976. It beat the Sex Pistols' Anarchy in the UK to the shops by over a month to become what was generally recognized as UK's first punk single. The Sex Pistols had been around longer, but The Damned beat them to vinyl. For any of those new people who don't know what vinyl is, even though it's coming back, that was that thing, a record that we used to play on a record player back in the olden days. But they are coming back, and they're very expensive. One of the first Damned concerts was opening, actually, for the Sex Pistols on July 6th, my birthday, 1976, at the 100 Club in London. So let's listen to a little bit of the song New Rose by the Damned. I kind of remember these guys, not as much as the Sex Pistols and stuff. All right, that is New Rose by The Damned off the album Damn, Damn, Damned, 1976. All right, we're going to move on. there's another Sex Pistols song, and then we're going to move on to keep, oh, then one, two, three, four. Gosh, there's four different Clash songs. So let me pick a couple of them out of here. I'm going to start with the first one because it was the first Clash song that's coming up in this line, and it's Capital Radio. The lyrics are an attack on mainstream radio stations of the time. The song is named after a popular radio station, Capitol Records, and their refusal to pay anything left field like punk rock, sticking strictly to bland pop and chart music. In 1977, interview with Carole Kuh, singer Joe Strummer explained, they're even worse because they had the chance coming right into the heart of London and sitting in that tower right on top of everything, but they completely blew it. It's like a throttle, Aiden Day. He's thinking he's the self-appointed minister of public enlightenment. We've just written a new song called Capital Radio, and the line in it goes, listen to the tunes of Dr. Goebbels' show. They say Capitol Records in tune with London. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. They are in tune with Hampstead. They are not in tune with us at all. I hate them. Wow. And what they could have done compared to what they have done is abhorrent, he said. They could have made it so good that everywhere you went, you took your translator radio. You know how it used to be when you went to school back in the olden days. I'd have one in my pocket all the time by my ear, flicking between stations. If you didn't like with the one record, you'd flick to another station and back again. It was amazing. They could have made the whole Capitol buzz. Instead, Capitol Radio has just turned their back on the whole youth of the city. I guess he was a little mad about that. Let's listen to it. Capitol Radio, The Clash. And next week, we're going to stay on the punk documentary scene. Bam Bam's getting me the name of in the information for the documentary we'll be watching. So it's coming. If you haven't seen this documentary, like I said, we split it up into two halves, two 45 minutes shows. But the first part of it is, I say the first part like because we split it in half, but it's really good. It goes back further than when we think punk started in the 70s and 80s. You know, it goes back in the 60s and 70s, Velvet Underground, MC5, Iggy Pop, all of those bands and how it's changed, you know, and then we'll end, you know, with the Beastie Boys and these guys. So it's really a good documentary. If you like music, it's really good. Capitol Records, The Clash, off the album Black Market Clash, 1977. All right, we're going to skip some of these Clash ones and move on to another band, Johnny Thunder and the Heartbeats. The song is Chinese Rocks. Let me find it on here. There it is. Okay. And I'm trying to remember if this was the guy. All right. It says D.D. Ramone wrote this song, which is about scoring heroin. Hey, is D.D. home? Do you want to take a walk? Do you want to go cop? You want to go get some Chinese rock? Okay, I guess those are some of the lyrics. He wanted his band, the Ramones, to record it, but they refused because it was about drugs. Ramones then brought the song to Richard Hell, who added some lyrics and recorded it with his band, the Heartbreakers. The Ramones did end up recording this, but not until 1975 when it appeared on their album, The End of the Century. But here is Johnny Thunder and the Heartbreakers, Chinese Rocks. Is Johnny Thunder and the Heartbreakers, Chinese Rocks, off the album LAMF 1977, Chinese Rock. All right, there's more Clash songs, but there's so many other bands that I want to be able to get to. We had White Riot by The Clash, Armageddon Time by The Clash, Know Your Rights by The Clash, and then we get into The Slits. And the song is Typical Girl. Actually, there's two different songs, Typical Girl, and then one is Speed, 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 both by The Slits. And we'll do Typical Girl because it was the first one. The Slits formed in 1976 when Ari Up went to Patti Smith's gig. After having an argument with her mother, Ari was approached by, the girl's name is Palmolive. Palmolive and Kate Corris. Yeah, why would she name herself a dish soap? Palmolive and Kate with the offer to form a band. The next day, they had their first rehearsal. The group supported The Clash on their 1977 White Riot tour, along with the Buzzcocks, all of which we just played, the Jam, the Perfects, and the Subway Section Club. At the Subway Section Club, performance of The Slits during the period are included in the punk rock movie 1978. What is the movie? That's interesting. Included in the punk rock movie. I guess that's the name of it. 1978. In November of 1978, The Slits toured again with The Clash on the tour, Sorts It Out tour, and were joined by The Innocents, who opened the show. Joe Strummer said the group would be great with intense gigging. Yeah, these girls were like, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, there's boobies. And they're all covered in mud, these girls. So here is Typical Girl by The Slits. And on their album cover, that's what it is. Typical girl, I'm into a trash. Now, Crazy Lady joined us, and she, I had never heard of the Slits, but she knew who they were. Oh, there's the cover. There's the boobies. They're staring at me. All six of them. Horrible, typical girls, the Slits. That's Palmolive. Again, that name is too much. The album is called Cut, and it was in 1979. The Slits, not the. Did I call them the Sluts? I hope it didn't say that. The Slits. All right. The next group is Tabazuki. Tabazuki. They talked about them real quickly, and just let me see what we have about Tabazuki. Tapperzuki or Tapazuki, born David Sinclair in 1955 in Kingston, Jamaica, is a reggae DJ and producer. I didn't really have anything on this song. Tapper was the nickname given to him by his grandmother in his youth, while Zuki was the name that came from his friends associated as a young boy. Their gang was called the Zukis. In 1973, his mother considered with Zuki's tendency to get in trouble, sent him to England to stay with some relatives, and that's how he came with his grandmother. So here is MPLA by Tapperzuki. And this is kind of like when they were talking about reggae kind of being introduced a little bit into the punk scene, punk music scene. Hi, Rosetta. Welcome. MPLA, performed by Tapperzuki. Tapperzukie. Yeah, I like that type of music. So the next band that I don't remember the girl from this band, her name, but it's the X-Ray Specs. The song is Oh Bondage Up Yours is the name of the song. Oh Bondage Up Yours is the debut single by the English punk rock band X-Ray Specs. It was released in September of 1977. It is regarded by critics as a prototype example of British punk, though it was not a chart hit. Considered with issues of consumerism and disposability reflected in the name she soon adopted, she wrote Oh Bondage Up Yours shortly after seeing the Pistols for the first time. I guess this is her name, Styrene, S-T-Y-R-E-N-E. Styrene later described it as a call of liberation. It was saying, bondage, forget it. I'm not going to be bound by the laws of consumerism or bound by my own senses. It is. It has a line in it, chain smoke, chain gang, I consume you all. You are tied to these activities for someone else's profit. All right, well, let's listen to it. Bondage Up Yours, performed by the band X-Ray Specs. And again, I never heard of this band until the show we watched last night. What's really funny is to see all of these members of the different groups now as adults. They don't look like they would ever be in a punk band at all, like they were in their youth. It's pretty funny. All right, well, that's a little bit of X-Ray Specs if you want to check them out. Bondage Up Yours off the album. Oh, actually, it was a single. In 1977. So there we go. This next one, I know you'll know them, the Pretenders. She was in the documentary quite a lot. Chrissy Hines, Stop Your Sobbing. It was actually written by Ray Davies and recorded for the Kinks in 1964 self-titled debut album that was later covered by the Pretenders as their first single. The Pretenders recording of the song led to the relationship between Davies and Chrissy Hines. I had no idea, which eventually resulted in the birth of a child. In his autograph, Ray Davies writes of a girlfriend who may have been the subject of this song. Her sobbing was making me feel guilty, and I told her to stop. There was something so desperate and lonely about her. Oh, that's sad. Anyway, Stop Your Sobbing, The Pretenders.
It is time for you to stop all of your sobbing. Yes, it's time. But you have to stop all of the sobbing, oh, that's something you gotta do to make me still want you. Yeah, yeah.
Stop.
It is time for you to laugh instead of crying. Is it time for you to laugh instead of crying? Oh, there's one thing you gotta do to make me still want you. Let's have some noise. Yeah, yeah. Stop.
Stop Your Sobbing, performed by the Pretenders, written by Ray Davies, off the album The Pretenders, 1979. All right, we're going to move on from The Pretenders and Sobbing to Magazine. Shot by Both Sides is the name of the song. Let's see. This ominous, catastrophic song is a paranoid plea for political moderation. Magazine vocalist Howard Devoto portrayed himself caught in an ideal crossfire as his enemies, real or otherwise, shoot him from both sides. Oh, okay. Well, that's all I'm going to talk because I got not a whole lot of time. So we're going to play a little bit of Shot by Both Sides Magazine. There's so many different bands in here. They just talked about these guys real briefly. Shot by Both Sides Magazine off the album Real Life, 1978. All right, we're going to move on to a little Beastie Boys. You got to fight for your right to party. This one, I'm trying to remember how this one came in, and I just can't. But I'm going to tell you about the song. In the liner notes of the Beastie Boys anthology, Adam M.C. Yalch explains the song began as a goof on a dumb rock song. They cut the vocals as a joke, then went on tour. Producer Rick Rubin added the loud drums in the guitar track. Continuing with the joke, the Beasties made a video where they played along with a drunken party boy image that this song had created. Soon, the Beasties were superstars. Thanks to their new fan base of frat boys, they set out to parody. According to MCA, they played into the new roles until they realized they had become their own joke. So here it is, Fight for Your Right to Party, the Beastie Boys.
Yeah!
It's kind of funny if you think about it. Fight for Your Right to Party, performed by the Beastie Boys off the album License to Kill, 1986. Yeah, this soundtrack is all over the place from when it first started, Jerry Lee Lewis to Beastie Boys to everything in between. Let's see, there's more Public LTD, and then we get into Sonic Youth. The guitarist and singer, a part singer, there was a girl singer too, but he's a lot in this documentary, speaking of punk music and its history, and he's pretty interesting. He reminds me of Beck. He looks just like a young Beck. Anyway, this song is Sugar Cane, Sonic Youth was an American rock band based out of New York City and formed in 1981. Sonic Youth emerged from experimental no wave art. And that's when they started talking about the no wave music. And I still don't understand it. The no wave art and music scene in New York before evolving into a more conventional rock band and becoming a prominent member of the American noise rock scene. See all these new ones. I have no idea. American noise rock scene. Sonic Youth has been praised for having redefined the rock guitar could do, using a wide variety of unorthodox guitar tuning while preparing guitars for objects like drumsticks, screwdrivers to alter the instrument's timbre. How do you say that? It's T-I-M-B-R-E, the instrument's timbre. The band was a pivotal influence on the alternative and indie rock movement. So, all right, let's play a little bit of Sugar Cane by Sonic Youth. And then there's also Drunken Butterfly. So I hope you like Sugar Cane. We're going to play that one. Gosh darn, it's almost time to go, and there's still, let's see, the Dead Kennedys, the Germs, Minor Threat, Fungies, Black Flag, more Black Flags, Bad Brain, Nirvana, Rancid, Blink 182, Limp Bizkit, Joy Division, all of those bands. I'm not going to be able to play all of it. Where is the Black Flag one? I want to play some of them because he was in that a lot. Sugar Cane, Sonic Youth, off the album Dirty, 1993. I like that song. All right, like I said, there's so many other ones. Black Flag, Henry was in it a lot, talking about the music and starting as one of the youngsters and becoming a grandpa of a punk rock scene. Let's see, we have two songs by them, Forever Time and Wound Up. If either one of you like either one of those songs, put it in the chat and I'll tell you a little bit about Black Flag. Well, this one, it says Black Flag, an American punk rock band formed in 1976, is widely considered one of the first hardcore punk bands and pioneer of the post-hardcore. All the post-hardcore, what were the other, all these different no wave and stuff. It's just, it used to be so simple. A lead singer, Henry Rollins' raw vocals and the driving punk rock sound of the song make it a prime example of the band's aggressive, confrontational approach during the 80s. But he seems so approachable when he's talking. It's funny. Yeah, I can totally do that, Bam Bam, for sure. I'll play this one and then the ones that I didn't play, we can do that next week. So I'm going to do Forever Time by Black Flag. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, he's for one, man. He looks at you with those, his eyes can just stare at you. So he was really great. He's a good, talking about the history of punk rock. He was right there. That's time! Forever Time, performed by Black Flag off the album The First 4 Years, 1982. All right, we're going to save some of these songs that are in here for next week, along with the... Well, I'll post it with what we're going to watch on Thursday, and then we'll be back here on Friday. But thank you guys so much for showing up and coming. I appreciate you guys so very much. And for everybody else that was here or who's listening to this on the download, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to leave you like I always leave you. Hopefully it'll work today. Oh, I think I need to turn this up because I turned Aaron down. Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. And, you know, like I was talking about in the beginning about integrity and just the crazy ass crap that's going on in this world. It just floored me that right before we started, I heard that fight at the bowling alley and that woman whacking another woman in the back of the head with a bowling ball. I mean, I just can't. It honestly just scares the crap out of me. You know, it scares the crap out of me. You never know who's going to flip out on you at Disneyland, at Disney World, and at a bowling alley. It's insane. So watch your backs. Watch the people you love. Take a deep breath. Remember that you can't control other people's actions, but you can control your own. And that's the hardest thing, is just taking a deep breath and breathing. So that's what I got to do, especially right now, since I got to get on the road. That's my part of my day that it just gets to me. So have a good rest of your day. I love you guys very much. And I will talk to you later.